Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section. My name is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I'm pleased to bring to you Chapter 49, Mem Tet, of Sefer Yeshayahu. Our Chapter 49 is really a series of prophecies directed at different recipients. The final one is clear and beautifully metaphoric. The person in it who's being talking or being directed speech at is Zion, the city, Yerushalayim herself, and her longing for her lost children and God's promise to return them. The first prophecy in this chapter is, to my mind, less clear about who the person is in it. According to Amos Chacham of the Dat Mikra series, the individual speaker is Israel herself. That is, the speaker represents the entirety of the nation. According to most medieval commentaries, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Radak, the speaker is Yeshayahu the prophet, speaking about his experiences and his mission as a national and international prophet. The third possibility is that the speaker, called Avdi, or my Eved here, is Koresh, is Cyrus the Great, as he works through his issues of being God's messenger and of being the savior of Israel and the light to nations. Each interpretation has its weaknesses and strengths within the text itself and also within the context of what is being said. So I'd like to actually provide a fourth possibility, which is that Yeshayahu is merging his vision and his trials with God as a prophet, with God's other messenger, which is Cyrus. If this is so, then we have something like a superimposed image of God's word, Yeshayahu, on top of God's strength or arm, Koresh. This kind of superimposed image may also be used in chapter 3, Perek Gimel of Echa, of Lamentations, which seems to be both Yirmiyahu speaking, but really channeling the lament of the jailed and exiled King Yehoyachin. But in the end, I'll try to translate these verses as unbiasedly as possible and let you draw your own conclusion about who exactly is featured in the beginning of chapter 49. Shimuyim elai, v'hakshivu li'umim merachok, Adonai mibetem kira'ani mime'e imi hizkir shimi. Listen to me, coastal nations, or perhaps island nations. Pay attention, distant peoples. God has called me from my mother's stomach while still in her womb. He named me. That is to say, my existence, whoever the my is, my existence is predicated on God's use for me. Ibn Ezra points out that this is very similar to chapter 1, verse 5 of Sefer Yirmiyahu, which is a verse which is very similar to our own, and the feature there is Yirmiyahu himself, but there are also some differences. Vayasem pi kecherev chada b'tzel yado hechbiani vayasimenu l'chitz barur ba'ashpato histirani. He, God, made my mouth, or my words, like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his arm he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, and in his quiver he concealed me. Both parts of this verse, the sword half, which is the A part, and the arrow half, the B part, have these similar elements. One is that the weapon is an effective, sharp, clear weapon, and two, that God kept the weapon, or me, safe and shielded, or perhaps he kept me hidden until the time that it actually needed to be used. Vayomer li avdiata, Yisrael asher b'cha et pa'ar. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, who through you I will be glorified. The first half is significant in its use of the word Eved, which really matches the Koresh imagery that we had before, more than Yeshayahu. Koresh is called Avdi some chapters before, but it could work for Yeshayahu as well. The second half is either saying, O you Israel, I will take glory in you, in which case it matches what Amos Chacham was saying, or perhaps he's speaking to Yeshayahu who represents Israel, O you Israel who is represented by Yeshayahu, Or through you, Isaiah, or through you, Koresh, Israel, and through Israel, God, I will be glorified. So it's a difficult pasuk, and you have to just kind of work with that strange phrase, Yisrael asher b'chayet pa'ar. Vani amarti l'rik yagati, l'tohu v'hevel kochi chileti, achein mishpati et Adonai ufeulati et Elohai. But I thought, Amar here, I think, doesn't mean I said, but it can mean I think, like I said to myself. Here, it has a kind of use like you see in Kohelet with the word Amar, which is I used to say or I used to think one thing, but now I think differently, which is, I think, the sense of the verse. And back to the verse. I used to think I was tiring myself for naught, for transient nothingness. Tohu v'hevel. I used up my strength. Therefore, I put my justice in the Lord, my efforts with God. This seems a little too religious for it to be Koresh, although it's possible that it's just trying to say that God wasn't going to make him successful and he wasn't really conquering all those nations until he recognized that he had to do good by the Jewish people. Maybe. It works better, actually, if Yeshayahu is sort of channeling Koresh, because then what he may be trying to do is saying to the skeptical exilees in Babylon who are having a hard time getting home, and one of the problems they're having a hard time getting home is they think this whole Koresh business is not kosher. So maybe they're trying to say, this guy is really kosher. At first I wasn't successful, then I believed in God, and then I became successful. The other possibility, and some of the Mefarshim go with this, is not Pulateich means I did your works, but I got your reward, which means nonetheless the Lord set me straight and God rewards me for my difficult work. That fits better with Yeshayahu saying, listen, I keep preaching and preaching and preaching and prophesizing and nobody's listening to me, but God's going to make sure I get my reward anyway. It's certainly possible. It seems a little too personal to me and too self-focused, as opposed to Yeshayahu's focus really needs to be outwards, but nonetheless, it's certainly possible. V'ata amar Adonai yotzeri mibeten le'evel lo, l'shovev Yaakov elav, v'Yisrael lo, with lamed vav, to him, ye'asef ve'ekabed be'enei Adonai ve'lohai haya uzi. And now, says God, who designed me from the womb to serve him, to return, shovev from the word lashuv, really, to return Jacob to him and to make Israel be gathered to him, I will attain honor in his eyes, or in everyone else's eyes, through the eyes of God. My God was, Haya, and is, really, is the impression of the Pasuk, is my strength, Haya Uzi. Vayomer nakel mihiyot chali eved, lakim et shivtei Yaakov, unutzire Yisrael hashiv, unutzaticha le'or goyim, liyot yeshuati ad k'tzei ha'aretz. And he said, God is, it is not enough for you that you should just be my servant to establish the tribes of Jacob and return the imprisoned of Israel. Rather, I will make you a light to nations, to be my instrument of salvation until the ends of the earth. Whether this is Isaiah or Cyrus or both superimposed or something else, you have to draw your own conclusions. But the implication is, it's not enough that you should just be a servant to my people, or if it's Isaiah, to your own people, but you need to be an international player as well. Ko amar Adonai goel Yisrael kidosho, livzo nefesh, limitaev goy, le'evin moshalim, quote, Malachim yiru v'kamu sarim v'yishtachavu l'man Adonai Hashem ne'eman kedosh Yisrael v'yivchareka. Now God is no longer speaking to the servant of change and the scope of that agency. That is, he's not only talking about Israel, but once he said that this person, this agent of change, needs to go out to all of the peoples, so he's now referring to all of those peoples, all of those nations. Or he may be actually talking to Israel and about all those nations that he referenced. So says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, the one who makes it holy, Kidosho. So he says to the shamed peoples, to the disgraced nations, to a servant of rulers. So all of this is focusing on the nation of Israel in exile itself. Here's what God says. Kings will see and stand. Officers will prostrate themselves because of God who is reliable, i.e. in keeping his promises. The Holy One of Israel, he has chosen you. There are other ways to interpret this pasuk. It could be that he's speaking to the other nations at the beginning of the pasuk. So you could look it up in the various translations and interpretations, but I think that the entire sentence is focused on Zion as a suppressed nation and how the other nations will recognize their return and stand up to them and prostrate themselves to the redeemed Israel once everything gets cooking. Ko amar Adonai be'eit ratzon ani ticha uviyom yishua zarticha ve'etzarcha ve'etencha livrit am Lakim Eretz Lahanchil Nechalot Shomei Mot. So says the Lord, I have answered you in the hour of favor, eight Ratzon. And on the day of salvation, I have aided you, I guarded you. I gave you a national covenant in order to establish a country and to inherit its desolate territories. This is speaking in the past tense, but the indication is that it's about to happen, and we're confident it will happen, much like it happened on the way out of Egypt when they got their Brit Am, their national covenant. Le'mor la'asurim tseyu, la'asher b'choshechi galu, al-drachim yir'u b'chol shifayim mar'itam. Lo yir'avu, v'lo yitzma'u, v'lo yakem sharav v'shamesh, ki merachamam yinhagem, v'al mabu'e mayim yinahaleim, v'samti chol harai ladarech umsi lotai yirumun. This verse is a continuation of the previous verse, which is, why am I guarding you and why am I helping you? It's to say, quote, to say to the captives, go. And to say to those who dwell in darkness, be redeemed. It's like a command. It's both telling them that it will certainly happen, but maybe also trying to instigate them to make it happen for themselves. Get up and get out of Babylon. Redeem yourselves. They will find, but getting back to the pasuk, they will find sustenance on the way. On every high place, they will find a pasture. They won't starve. They won't thirst in the heat, and the sun won't strike them. Indeed, due to love, he will guide them and lead them by springs of water. And now God is speaking in first person. I, Vesamti, I will make all my mountains a road, which means he owns the mountains and he's making them into roads for the Jewish people to go back home. The paths will be built on high, Yerumun, or perhaps the word erected or constructed for Yerumun works very nicely as well. All roads will be constructed and lean back to Jerusalem. Hine eilem rachok yabov, hine eilem mitzafon umiyam, ve'eile me'eret sinim. Notice the three eilas there. I'll discuss that in a bit. Behold, these, eila, Israel, will come from afar. Behold, these will come from the north and from the ocean. Come from the north and from the ocean. The north, in all of these cases, whenever it describes people come from the north, it's talking about Mesopotamia. Now, if you could picture on a map, Asher and Babel, Mesopotamia, are really more east of Israel than north. Essentially, it's Iraq, Kuwait, maybe northern Iraq, not quite into Turkey, not really into Turkey. And the eastern, so the question is, why is it referred to coming from the north when, in fact, these countries are to the east of Israel, not to the north? So the answer is that the deserts of modern-day Jordan, which were directly to the east, sandwiched in between Israel and Mesopotamia, were essentially unpassable on a mass scale. They were really only used by the proto-Arab traders who stored secret waters and kind of oases or supplies along the way. So these individual traders managed to live there and to do business by crossing spices and other things across the deserts. But when it came to armies coming to Israel and when it came to the exiles coming back to Israel, the road was thought of as the north because you would have to travel up Mesopotamia between the Tigris and the Euphrates. You would then hang a left where the Euphrates heads towards the Mediterranean, but you're already in northern Syria at that point. And then you would come down the coast to Lebanon. So from a biblical perspective, Babel and Ashur are thought of as in the north. The ocean, on the other hand, probably is referring to Egypt because there were certainly exiles there as well, as Yirmiyahu tells us in the Book of Kings and in his own book. And in fact, Eretz Sinim is recognized as the Targum, and the general recognition is that it's actually an area south of Egypt, maybe what's also called Eretz Kush. Actually, there seem to be three groups here. So we have Mitzafon, Miyam, and Me'eretz Sinim, or maybe Merachok is one, Eila Merachok, and then Eila Mitzafon Miyam is another, and Eila Me'eretz Sinim. So it's hard to say exactly which three these are. I was focusing just on two, from the west and from the east, from Babylonia on one hand and their exile, and from Egypt on their hand and the other place where the Jews were. But maybe we're talking the third group is the 10 tribes that were lost before and taken to all over the world, and maybe that's what it means by Eretz Rechokim. But this idea of three Eilas will come back to us over and over again. Ranu Shamayim Megili Aretz Ufitzchu Harim Rina. Kinicham Adonai Amov, Aniyav, Yirachem. Shir, O heavens, rejoice, O lands. You mountains, break open with cheer. All these are commands. Because the Lord has comforted his nation. He has taken mercy on his afflicted people. And now the camera shifts. First, it was on the agent of salvation, whoever that was. And then it was on the people in exile and the road that will take the exiles home. And now the camera sort of shifts home. It shifts to the desolate city of Yerushalayim, of Zion, as she speaks of the longing of for her people. So it's a kind of a really nice camera shift from one point then to the road. And then we sort of shift to Jerusalem and anticipate with nervousness the return of Zion. Vatomar Tzion Azavani Adonai, Vadonai Shechechani. In Zion, she said, the Lord has abandoned me. My master has forgotten me. And now God responds to that statement. Hatishkach isha ulach merachem ben bitnah, gam eile tishkachna ve'anochi lo eshkachich. Can a woman forget her children? Not to have love on the child of her belly? And even if these forget, gam eile tishkachna, I won't forget. Here, God is the mother, Jerusalem the child, and God is saying, I'm going to be the best of mothers who would never ever forget their child being Jerusalem. Hein al kapayim chakoticha, chomotayich, negdi tamid, miharu banayich, marsayich, umachrivayich, mimech yitzeu. Behold, I have inscribed on you my hands, and the practice of a lover writing the name of their beloved on their hand with a bracelet or henna or who knows, is obviously a practice that goes back quite some way. And notice that this practice is mentioned in Shir HaShirim as well. Simeni kachotam al zeroecha. Returning to the pasuk, your walls are always in front of me. That's how we know that we're not talking about Israel. We're talking about Zion itself, which means always in front of me, meaning it's a top priority for me. It's in the top of my inbox. Your children are coming fast, and as a result of your children coming fast, your destroyers, your demolishers will soon leave you, abandon you, run away. Si'i savi v'inayach ur'i kulam nikbetsu va'olach. Chayani num Adonai ki chulam ka'adi tilbashi utkashirim kakala. Look around you and behold, they're all coming, gathering to come to you. I swear, says the Lord, that you will wear them all like jewelry and adorn them like a bride. It was sort of like an idea of a reapproachment of a husband and the wife, and the children are us. For me, I imagine this verse, when I picture this verse, I picture Jews on every street of Jerusalem, buses teeming up and down the narrow streets, humans traveling the roads of Jerusalem, and happy people calling to their friends from the windows of the rebuilt Jerusalem, sticking out of the windows like pearls on the buildings of their mother. Ki chorvotayich v'shom memotayich v'eret harisuteich ki atat to understand this pasuk, you have to understand that the two keys, ki and kiata, are used in contrast. So, ki, your ruins and desolations and waste places. So now, kiata, there won't be enough space for everyone to dwell, and your devourers will be sent away. Again, this idea of a beautifully overcrowded city. Od yomru v'oznayich b'nei shikulayich tzar li hamakom gishali v'esheva. I tried to make that sound like a little kid, but it didn't come out quite right. The children who you thought you lost. And of course here Jerusalem is now the mother and we, the Jewish people, are the children. They will say in your ears, like little children squabbling over a place to be by their mom, there's not enough room. Make room for me to dwell. Gishali v'esheva. Ve'amart bilvavech mi'alad li et eila. There's those eilas again. Vani shechula v'galmuda. Gola v'sura ve'eila mi'gidel. And the third one. Hein ani nisharti levadi eila efohein. And you will say to yourself, who will give birth to all of these? Remember these three these. So maybe the first one, we're talking about the ones coming from Eretz Tzafon, which is Mesopotamia. For I have lost all my children, lost my husband, exiled and taken away. And these, who raised them? That is, as she sees the people coming home, she's amazed. Who raised them? When I was left alone by myself, so who are these? So essentially Zion is asking, the city itself is asking who these kids are, since logically it feels inherently that once one loses their kids, is it really ever possible to get them back? So now God answers in the next pasuk, Ko amar Adonai Elohim, Hine yesail goyim yadi ve'elamim arim nisi, ve'heviu v'anayach b'chotzen uv'notayach al-katev t'inasena. So says the Lord God to the peoples, and these are foreign nations, I will raise my hand, I will lift my flag to the nations, and they shall bring your sons in their in the folds of their cloaks, and they will carry your daughters on their shoulders. The implication is that other nations will become a positive, constructive forces in helping your children survive in exile and come back home. And that way, the lost children could be restored. Perhaps this is talking about Cyrus and the Persian Empire. Perhaps it's talking about all peoples recognizing Jerusalem. But God is saying it is not impossible that a lost people come home, because even in the places where they're lost, they in those places will help your children come home. Vayum lachim omnayich v'sarotehem meinikotayich apayim eretz yishtachavu lach v'afar aglayich yilachechu. V'yadat ki ani Adonai asher lo yavoshu kovai. And kings will be your aides, and their officers will nurse you. Either this verse is talking to Zion, saying that other women, i.e. other nations, will help her recover from her loss. That's the probable meaning. And provide space for Tzion. That is, they're actually going to sort of stretch out the area of Tzion and allow her to be able to handle her children that have come home. On their faces to the ground, they will bow down to you, and they will lick the dirt of your feet. I am the Lord that you shall know that anyone who puts their trust in me will never, ever be ashamed. So she asks, Hayukach mi gibor malkoach v'im shvi tzadikim aleitz? Can a loot be taken from the warrior, from the hero? Can captives escape from the winner? That is, how are we going to bring all these people home? They're not going to give up their captives. They're not going to allow their captives to escape. They're not going to return all the money that they took from us. Kicho amar Adonai, gam shvi gibor yukach, umakoch aritzi malet, v'yat yirivech anochi ari, v'panayach anochi oshia. So this is a response to that, and saying, you're wrong. Indeed, so says the Lord, both captives will be taken from the warrior and loot will escape from their oppressor, from the oppressor. I will fight those who fight you and I will save your children. Note that in the question, everything matched a little bit better. Loot was taken, the Malkoach was Yukach, and the captives are escaping. But in the answer, it's switched. It's the captives that are taken by God and the loot escapes as if it has little feet. Perhaps the reason why it's switched is that God is pointing out that people are the real treasures. They're not just going to be allowed to escape by themselves, but God will take them out by himself. And the treasure, which is so important to the other nations, that will simply disappear as a consequence. And we're also setting up two kinds of nations. The nations that help Israel, and Yirivech Anochi Ariv, and the ones who will fight against Israel. So if I got to do it peacefully, God says, that's the way it'll be. And if they don't watch my signs and bring Israel home, we'll do it the hard way. V'ha'achalti et monayach et b'saram, v'che'asis damam yishkarun, v'yad'u chol basar ki ani Adonai Moshi'ech v'go'alech abir Yaakov. And I will feed your oppressors their own flesh, and they will drink their own blood like wine, and then everyone will know that I am the Lord your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty of Jacob.